Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' stunning Game 4 loss to the Rockets at Oracle Arena. And we'll look ahead to Game 5 in Houston. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, you were at Game 4 at Oracle Arena, and the Warriors, they got off to such a great start. They had a 12-point lead. They had a 12-0 lead early, and then they had a 12-point lead there in the fourth quarter, I believe, and just blew that game and only scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. How is that possible with the Golden State Warriors in 2018? But it happened, and they lose the game, and now they go back to Houston. The Rockets have the home court advantage back in their hands with the series tied up 2-2. It had to be just a devastating loss, and since you were there, I can only imagine what the atmosphere was like at Oracle there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, I tweeted it out during the fourth quarter, and I know a lot of people probably tweeted the same thing, but since I was at Game 7 of the 2016 Finals, and I'm sure a lot of fans who were there last night were there for Game 7 of the 16 Finals, it had the same feel. A very nervous crowd, just disconcerting the way the Warriors were playing, and, you know, they just went stagnant. They went into a deep freeze. They were not moving the ball. It was a lot of iso ball. Some turnovers. It was just really bad possessions, really bad shot selection. And this was not the Warriors basketball we are used to seeing. They've gotten bogged down into the ISO game and the Rockets' pace, and the Rockets came back and took that one. You give them all the credit. The Rockets are a better defensive team than I've ever seen, a Houston team, at least in the modern era. They're far better than a couple of years ago. And I think adding guys like P.J. Tucker certainly helped. Trevor Ariza is a good defender. Clint Capella has really developed. He's a good defender. And they've got guys who can get after you and take away your space and move with you. But you have to make the defense work. Steph Curry said at postgame that we got to be us. We got to move more. It was stagnant. That's just not the way they are. And I would anticipate that there's going to be real emphasis on moving the ball around, making the defense work for Game 5.
Well, each coach figures out a way to motivate his team, you know, especially after a loss. And it seemed like to me that Coach D'Antoni did a really good job by saying that the team was soft. I mean, he gets that out in the media. That was calculated, in my opinion. And I think maybe the Rockets took that to heart. I mean, this has definitely been a physical series. And, you know, the team that sort of gets more physical, I think, does a better job on defense. And sure, the Warriors missed Andre Iguodala big time in this game. But the Rockets, I mean, just their physicality, everybody, even Chris Paul, he's not the biggest guy on the floor, but he was playing physical as well. And to me, that really made a big difference for Houston.
Yeah, and you play as physical as you can, as you can get away with. And the Rockets will try to push that envelope. Chris Paul has always tried to push that envelope. He's a fine two-way player. There's no doubt about it. Harden and Paul together are the flop fellas. They will do that a lot, but they're still a potent duo that, you know, are going to make Clay and Steph work. And, you know, three factors I saw in this game: Steph's early foul trouble, the absence of Iguodala, and then Clay Thompson having to leave with a banged up knee. And that just messed up the rotation. Now, Steve Kerr mentioned that maybe fatigue was an issue at the end of the game. Steph Curry said that can't be an excuse. Hey, the Rockets had a seven-man rotation. They had four guys play more than 40 minutes. So, yeah, I think fatigue was a factor for the Warriors, but how about for the Rockets? Didn't seem to bother them. I do think for the Warriors, sometimes when they are fatigued, and I've seen this before, saw it in Game 7 of the 16 Finals, you want to try to shoot as many threes as you can. The tendency is to not to want to go to the basket and to, you know, avoid physical contact. And on top of that, though, you pass up some open tries in the mid-range area around the elbow. I think the last shot, the last possession, Kevin Durant might have had a shot at the elbow, but he passed it to Klay Thompson, and then, of course, they couldn't get the shot off, or he didn't get a good shot off, and eventually they did get an open look for Steph Curry in the corner, and he missed it. But I should also say, I mean, Steph Curry missed a layup. Steph Curry missed a wide-open three that went in and out. Draymond Green got blocked by the rim.
Oh, yeah, attempt. That was tough to watch, yeah.
You know, after Harden had dunked on him. So there were shots that you're just stunned. How could they miss that? And that's when the crowd gets worried, and I think that atmosphere kind of went through the team. And listen, they blew it. They absolutely blew it. But they can redeem themselves in Game 5.
Well, let's talk about the Iguodala factor, because I think it's actually more than just his defense and even, as Steve Kerr has talked about, his ability to organize everything. I mean, I think those are major factors, but I think it's even more than that. I think there are basketball plays that he makes that nobody can make. I mean, nobody else that replaces him can make, especially when you're starting Looney. And, I mean, Kevon Looney's had a good postseason, no doubt. I mean, he's getting rebounds. He's blocking some shots. He's playing really good defense. But if you throw him the ball in traffic, the chances of him catching it and dunking, not always going to be the case. Whereas I think Iguodala, just if it's a loose ball or it's a pass that's not a perfect pass, he catches it. He's just a great athlete. I think they miss that part as much as the other parts that are more obvious. What do you think?
I think that did affect the flow, without a doubt. And it's asking a lot for Kevon Looney to have a start in a Western Conference final. I mean, he's no Festus Ezeli. He does catch the ball, but
yeah.
his repertoire at this point in his career is limited. He's there for a certain role, and he's done a good job this year. He's done a good job in the postseason, but no, he's not the player that Andre Iguodala is. So it's a drop off there, and it's the flow of the offense. It's taking care of the basketball. It's stabilizing the offense. It's making the smart play, and what he gives you at the defensive end. And I think you will see the difference. I'm pretty sure he's going to play Game 5. They're listing him as questionable now. I think, this is just me speculating, that if the Warriors were down 2-1 going into Game 4, that Iguodala would have played. But they felt like they had a little time to spare to get him right. And this is always going to be the case with Iguodala, as he's 33, 34 years old. You've got to handle him with kid gloves. But when he is fresh, man, he is still very effective. And I think that's what the Warriors are counting on for Game 5. Effective at both ends of the floor, running the offense, and also making things a little more difficult for Harden and Paul in particular.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
I was thinking, Ray, that if the Warriors lose this series, that they would have to rethink how they had their roster structured for the postseason. Just too many centers on the roster that you've got guys sitting on the bench that there's no way you're going to go to them right now. I mean, Zaza Pachulia was once a starter. Now he's a garbage time player. You know, same with JaVale McGee. You know, he was a starter at one point. And I know it's this series and, you know, maybe they don't match up the same way, but the roster just doesn't seem to be structured correctly, where you mentioned the fatigue factor. I think Steve Kerr almost has no choice. He's got to play his starters a lot of minutes. And, you know, he's going to Jordan Bell more than he did before. And, I think Jordan actually is adding some life in there. You know, he's still sometimes has the deer in headlights look, but I like the way he comes after the offensive players, and you always think that he's got a chance to block a shot, and he does go up for rebounds, and so he is a good guy to get in there in a tough series, a physical series like this. But again, I just wonder about this roster and what they might do to tweak that.
I wonder if he might give JaVale a few minutes coming up. That's just the thought I have to provide some of that energy and to provide, you know, the block shots that get the team going in transition the other way, things like that. It's a tough series for David West. This is not a good matchup for him. Zaza is going to be on the bench, and so they're limited in that way. They probably do have too many centers, and that'll change in the offseason. Zaza will be gone. Kevon Looney could be gone. So they're going to have to give a bigger role to guys like Damian Jones. David West is nearing the end of his career, and he's had a great run with the Warriors. And I think he still has something to contribute if they're able to get to the finals. But, yeah, that was part of it. But, you know, that really gets exposed when a key player is out, like Andre Iguodala. I mean, that really did affect their rotations. Again, the Rockets went with seven guys and got through it. But I think for the Warriors, again, losing Iguodala and Steph Curry with foul trouble really kind of messed up their equilibrium. Now, they got it back because Curry had one of his trademark third quarters and they were in control. Then the question was, hey, could you play Curry the entire fourth quarter? No. But how long do you keep him out? You couldn't keep him out for long at all. But then that second unit just kind of frittered the lead away, and they got nothing done offensively. And, I think that they're going to need to get another, you know, big-time game from Klay Thompson to kind of relieve the pressure off Durant and off Steph Curry as well. And Durant had a terrible game, by the way.
Yeah, he didn't shoot well.
I haven't said that hardly ever.
Turned it. He had some really bad turnovers, and you know, as a team too, they seem out of sync at times. Ray, where you know, there's just these turnovers where you're throwing to somebody who's not ready for the pass. I mean, too many of those, right?
Yeah. Well, there was a turnover when they were up 12-0, and Houston got it, went down and got a bucket. I think it was Harden, and Steve Kerr called timeout. He sensed it. I sensed it. A lot of people sensed it that you were letting them back in the game right then and there. They had a chance to step on their neck in the first quarter. Kerr mentioned it postgame. They didn't do that. They could have kept them, you know, knocked them right out of the game mentally as well if they had taken a big lead. They didn't take advantage of that. And there was that turnover where I think it was it Draymond who wasn't looking. I'll have to go back and look at the tape. But it was when they were up 12-0. And then you mentioned Jordan Bell. He had a block with 0.4 to go in the first quarter. Then they allow a layup on the inbound. That's inexcusable.
Right.
And then Houston had the first possession of the second quarter. They get a couple of free throws. They're right back in the game, and they know it. And the Warriors know it, and everybody knows it's going to be a dogfight. So they had a chance to make this a breeze like they have so many times, like they did in Game 3. They didn't do it. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I think the Warriors are not suited mentally to play these tight, close games. Now, they were last year against Cleveland, and they were, earlier in the playoffs, but for the most part, it was a breeze last year. Sometimes these close games give them a little bit of trouble, especially when they appear to be gassed and their offense bogs down. Most of the time, they get through it. They didn't in Game 4. I know a lot of fans are panicking. It's not time to panic yet.
Yeah, I don't think you panic at all. I mean, it's funny how it can change so quickly in these series. Really, this was the first game of the conference finals on both ends that it was a close game. And, it was funny, too, because it seems like a lot of times with the Warriors and some of the other great teams, they can be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from one game to the next. The Warriors were like that within one game. I mean, within this game, I mean, they look great 1 minute, you know, and third quarter, oh, yeah, they're going to win. I mean, they're going to win this thing going away, and then they turn into another team.
I think that's one of the things that's a little puzzling, maybe a little bit troubling about this year's team, the lapses that they do have. Now, again, they've been through a lot of games over the last few years, and maybe it's not as easy to call up the mental concentration. Maybe they need a challenge. It seems to be that way. And they seem to bounce back from losses as well as anybody. So, I don't think they need it, but I think some of the players, maybe Draymond was saying it too, we respond to a challenge. We respond when we think we're threatened. It would have been a lot easier to just take control of the series and be up 3-1 and not have to worry about that. But I almost think that this team needs that sort of drama in order to really focus. And I do believe you're going to see a more focused effort in Game 5 throughout the game. But, yeah, I mean, second quarter, they were in a deep freeze. Fourth quarter, deep freeze. You don't see that usually twice in a game with them. You give the Rockets credit. But at the same time, this isn't quite the dominant Warriors team we have seen. Still may be good enough, though.
We'll have more Dubs OT in just a moment.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
I'll tell you, Chris Paul looks so determined to get to the finals. He is playing some great basketball, even though, you know, he was banged up. His foot was bothering him in the previous game in Game 3. But, I mean, he looked healthy enough in Game 4, and he's making shots. He's playing defense. He's just fired up. And, he's really kind of the factor. I mean, I expect Harden to score a lot. I expect him to, you know, hit his threes and drive to the basket and do all those things. But Chris Paul looks like he's stepped it up, maybe even kind of gone back several years. He seems like a younger guy right now, just the energy that he's playing with.
Oh, he's very hungry. There's no doubt about it. And this whole Rockets team is very hungry. They want to get over this hump and beat the champs. That's been the hurdle that's been in their way for a few years now. And it's been in the hurdle of the way of Chris Paul for a few years now. He used to be, thorn in the side of the Warriors, right? For a couple of years there. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's one of the very best point guards of this era. There's stuff he does that drives me nuts. He can be dirty at times. There's no doubt about that. He can flop at times. But he's still a tremendous two-way player, and he's become very proficient at the three-point line as well. So you take all that together with Harden, and again, that was part of the philosophy, I think, for the Rockets in acquiring Paul. Many of us were questioning whether they would work together, Paul and Harden, but the one thing you do know is their main competitor in the West, the Warriors, have the best backcourt in basketball. They want to make that backcourt work at both ends. And maybe take a little of the energy out of them. And I think sometimes it's affected Clay more than Steph, but now it's going to be up to the Splash Brothers to come back and make those guys work, and Durant as well. I'd expect Durant to have a better game. There's a whole lot of weird in Game 4. There's no doubt about it, and I don't necessarily think it carries over to a Game 5.
I think sometimes the Warriors get caught in between because you want to move the ball. I mean, there's no doubt that's the best way the Warriors play. And if Steph Curry is facilitating it, I think it's going to work best. But remember, Curry was out for a long time, and this team played with Kevin Durant kind of taking charge. And you don't mind him handling the ball a lot and going one-on-one a lot of times because he's going to score. He figures out ways to score, but it does sort of slow them down. So they're kind of caught in between, I think. And especially, like you said, the defense factor by the Rockets, it plays into it. I mean, if you can't get the ball to Steph, if he's being denied, and same with Clay, and then it's just in Durant's hands, you know, he knows how to go one-on-one and get isolated. But again, that may bog down the team, and then we're talking about how they're not moving the ball.
Yeah, and the Rockets have been real good about trying to block cutting lanes as well. They overplay, but they haven't been burned by backdoor cuts either. That's one way you try to deal with the overplay, right? You go to the backdoor cut, but they've moved with the Warriors very well in that regard. And maybe after a while you get so tired of it that you just settle for threes, you don't move the ball. But they got to get back, and I'll use this quote again, Steph said, they've got to get back to being us. And that's what they have to do. Now, ideally, you move the ball around. You see what's there. If nothing is there and you're down to like 6 seconds on the clock, there's Durant for you in the half-court set. And he can usually get a good shot off. He was not taking good shots at times in Game 4, and he was missing a lot. I don't see that happening again. I just think with Durant, I've always felt this. There's nobody who can stop him. You can try and bump him and slow him down a little bit. And I think, for example, P.J. Tucker will get physical with Durant and kind of knock him off his wheels. But if it's an off night, it's usually because of Durant, not because of the defender. So you know, that's another thing that I think is going to turn around in Game 5. And I know a lot of people are worried. Right now the Rockets have taken back the home court advantage, and the Warriors won Game 1. There's going to be a whole lot of pressure in Game 5. You could say there's pressure on the Rockets, too. I mean, if they lose Game 5, they're going back to Oracle with their season on the brink. So, you can play those mind games, those psychological games, and so forth. But I think for the Warriors, again, it's getting back to the ball movement, reducing the turnovers. They had too many in the first half, and that's one of the things that helped them fritter away the lead. And we see it every time. They play good defense. They take care of the ball. They win. They beat everybody.
More Dubs OT after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
You know, I look at this series, too. As you mentioned, it comes down to a 3-game series with the Rockets having the home court. Now, neither team's been able to win 2 games in a row. I mean, that's how tough it is to sort of pick what's going to happen here. You just don't know. The momentum just keeps going from one team to the other team. And I think each team has been stunned at home, because I think that first game, the Rockets had to be stunned. I mean, they were thinking, yeah, we're at home. We're gonna beat the Warriors. They get, blown up in that first game, and the Warriors are stunned right now. I mean, they had won 16 games in a row in the playoffs at home. So they're a little bit stunned. I mean, everybody's taking their shots. It's like a heavyweight bout that seems like it's going to go all the way to 15 rounds, or in this case, 7 games. And, I mean, even though we've only had the one close game, Ray, this has really been a good series. And, I can't even predict what's going to happen. I think that's what's great. That's why you watch sports, is to go into it with just this drama that I think we're getting.
Yeah, you want to see two good teams, and these are probably the two best teams in the NBA, landing haymaker after haymaker. And right. So I do think that if the Warriors lose the series, they will look back to the fourth quarter in Game 4. There's no doubt about it. But, again, this is still redeemable. The difference is, Game 4, where you had a chance to go up 3-1, that's pretty frustrating. And I know Draymond Green said it, they're pissed off. Well, they better be pissed off. I want to see them play when they're pissed off and focused. And that's going to be the interest to me. I mean, Game 5 is always pivotal anyway, but this especially so, given the context that we've had this year and the last 4 games. I want to ask you real quick, because this is a basketball philosophy thing. 11 seconds to go in the game. Do you call a timeout there, or do you let it flow with Kevin Durant bringing the ball up, or somebody bringing the ball up, trying to get a shot to at least tie the game?
I like a timeout. I like to set it up. What do you think?
I would say yes, timeout when the shot isn't there. When Clay had the ball and had no shot, apparently Draymond Green was calling timeout. I think at that point, yes, you do. But I think you've got 4 All-Stars on the floor. And often, in the flow, you can get the defense on its heels in a transition situation. That's usually made for the Warriors. It didn't happen this time. I think Durant, like I said, might have had a shot near the elbow if he'd have pulled up. But I believe it was a bounce pass to Clay, and Clay was trapped. And, I think Clay was probably thinking, how do I, maneuver around to get the shot up? He knows the clock is dwindling. And Draymond's yelling timeout. Apparently the referees don't see or hear him, and it was just kind of a mess at the end. Even so, they were able to get a step 3 in the corner at the very end that clanged off the rim. I would say, in that situation, does Steve Kerr draw up a better play with 11 seconds to go in a timeout, or is it better to just let him rip? I think it's when you have that kind of talent on the floor, and again in a transition situation, you let him rip. But when there was nothing, yeah, then you'd call a timeout. And then you have, 4 seconds to go? You'd still have time to get a shot off.
That's a good point. And it is a good point, because you tailor it to how your personnel is. I mean, because you could have a college basketball team and maybe they're not so great in transition and you really need to set up a play for your best shooter.
Right.
But in this case, they do have several options and maybe you catch the Rockets on their heels. And that's a really good point and something that you have to think about hard. As a coach, you have to know going into it what you would do.
And this reminds me of the Super Bowl with the 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens, right?
Oh, yeah.
And a timeout that didn't need to be called. You had the Ravens defense on their heels, and Frank Gore. Okay, I'm opening a scab here. Anyway, I mean, most times you're able to get something good when the defense is on its heels. You give the Rockets credit. They had everything covered. And, you know, probably better to have Steph bring the ball up than Durant, but it was in his hands. And you just take your chances. I seem to recall there was a play in transition against the Cavaliers last year where Durant was able to pull up and hit a rather important three-pointer of LeBron James. So that's Exhibit A in my book. But it didn't work out. Again, it would have been nice to have that timeout with 4 seconds to go. It didn't happen. But I think Durant post-game had the better quote. He said, yeah, it didn't work out there. We could have gotten a better possession, but really we should have played a better entire game. And that's why they got down to that point where they were behind and they needed to get a shot off. They're probably feeling it shouldn't have come to that.
Well, we'll see what transpires here in the best of three now that it has become in this series, and we'll be talking about it soon. Thanks so much, Ray, and hopefully this series has more close games, and we'll see how it works out for the Warriors.
Are we talking about a postmortem a week from now or the NBA Finals?
We're talking about a NBA Finals for our next Dubs OT because I'm going to be out on the road next week covering the Division II Baseball Championship. Well, keeping my eye on this series, so we're going to be talking during the finals, and hopefully the Warriors are in it.
You're the world's most interesting man. You're covering everything.
All right, thanks, Ray.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.